Below, in the narrow passage of the Cajon, the sword handlers arranged everything. All the seats were full. Above, all the boxes were full. There was not an empty seat except in the president's box. When he came in, the fight would start. Across the smooth sand in the high doorway that led into the corrals, the bullfighters were standing, their arms furled in their capes, talking, waiting for the signal to march in across the arena. Brett was watching them with the glasses. "Here, would you like to look?" I looked through the glasses and saw the three matadors. Romero was in the center, Belmonte on his left, Martial on his right. Back of them were their people, and behind the banderilleros, back in the passageway and in the open space of the corral, I saw the picadors. Romero was wearing a black suit. His tri-cornered hat was low down over his eyes. I could not see his face clearly under the hat, but it looked badly marked. He was looking straight ahead. Martial was smoking a cigarette, guardedly, holding it in his hand. Belmonte looked ahead, his face wan and yellow, his long wolf jaw out. He was looking at nothing. Neither he nor Romero seemed to have anything in common with the others. They were all alone. The president came in. There was hand clapping above us in the grandstand, and I handed the glasses to Brett. There was applause. The music started. Brett looked through the glasses. "Here, take them," she said. Through the glasses, I saw Belmonte speak to Romero. Martial straightened up and dropped his cigarette, and looking straight ahead, their heads back, their free arms swinging, the three matadors walked out. Behind them came all the procession, opening out, all striding in step, all the capes furled, everybody with free arms swinging, and behind rode the picadors, their picks rising like lances. Behind all came the two trains of mules and the bullring servants. The matadors bowed, holding their hats on, before the president's box, and then came over to the barrera below us. Pedro Romero took off his heavy gold brocaded cape and handed it over the fence to his sword handler. He said something to the sword handler. Close below us, we saw Romero's lips were puffed, both eyes were discolored. His face was discolored and swollen. The sword handler took the cape, looked up at Brett, and came over to us and handed up the cape. "Spread it out in front of you," I said. Brett leaned forward. The cape was heavy and smoothly stiff with gold. The sword handler looked back, shook his head, and said something. A man beside me leaned over toward Brett. "He doesn't want you to spread it," he said. "You should fold it and keep it on your lap." Brett folded the heavy cape. Romero did not look up at us. He was speaking to Belmonte. Belmonte had sent his formal cape over to some friends. He looked across at them and smiled, his wolf smile that was only with the mouth. Romero leaned over the barrera and asked for the water jug. The sword handler brought it, and Romero poured water over the percale of his fighting cape and then scuffed the lower folds in the sand with his slippered foot. "What's that for?" Brett asked. "To give it weight in the wind."
"His face looks bad," Bill said.
"He feels very badly," Brett said. "He should be in bed."